Thank you so much, James. Man, is it good to be back and to be able to share this morning at Covenant. And man, I listened to Mel last week. I did listen. I knew y'all talked about me. I listened. Yeah, we listened. It was great. But I so appreciate Mel and just his faithful sharing the scriptures and preaching. Man, that's awesome to be able to be gone and to know that God's in this place and God's doing his thing. And you know, before that, we had this cool communion thing. That was very creative and very cool to be able to do something different. And then before that, Cindy and the VBS group hung out, and man, it was so good. It was just a blessing. But it's cool to be back and great to be able to share. We had a great vacation. Did I tell you I had a granddaughter? We were with her that week, and it was a lot of fun. We had a great time. So thank you for allowing us to be gone. So how many of you, without breaking a leg or breaking an arm or doing something serious, how many of you regularly do at least a one-year checkup with your doctors? Let me see. Wow. I'm really impressed. Really, I am. That's impressive. And, you know, we do as well. We go once a year and go to that checkup. And you know what I've discovered is that some people are like us, man. They go, whenever the doctor says it's time for the checkup, it's time for a checkup. And we gotta go and you gotta do the checkup deal and you just do it because it's time, right? There are other people who go to the doctor, man, if they get a sniffle, I mean, a sniffle, a runny nose, I mean, just something, they're at the doctor's, man, it's there, they're there. There are others that they don't go until they're like on their deathbed. You know, they gotta be, you know, dying before they go to the doctor. Then there are others who, they'll darken the door of a doctor's office, after they've gone on the internet and went to WebMD and checked out all their symptoms. You know somebody like that? I think Diane's got something in her throat over here. I'm not sure. But anyway, they check out all their symptoms. So that when they go to the doctor, they can tell this trained medical professional person what's wrong with them. Okay? Okay. Okay. You know, the thing I'd... She doesn't know anybody like that, I'm just telling you. She doesn't. Maybe. So anyway, this time of year for us is the time, it's kind of our trigger. Summertime for us is the trigger that we say, oh, we got to schedule an appointment with our doctor. It's time for us to schedule our yearly checkup because we want to make sure that, you know, that everything's good. But you know what? I dread going to the doctor. No, number one, because I have what's called white coat syndrome. Y'all know what that is? Oh, you all have it too? Yeah. Man, it's crazy. Blood pressure. I dread going to the doctor. I dread going to the doctor because here's what I know. At some point, the doctor's going to say, hey, you need to do this. You need to lose weight. You need to eat more healthy. Or he's going to say, look, you need to change the way you're living your life in order to be, to last longer. Sometimes when I go to the doctor, I come out with more questions than when I went in. Like, what do I have to eat? Maybe, do I need to invest in chickens if I'm going to eat more chicken? Do I need to invest in cows if I'm going to eat more beef? You know, what do I need to invest in as I think about moving forward? Do I need to buy stock in Grecian formula? So I think that'd be pretty good, you know, see if I could do that. Or Rogaine. I don't know which, sometimes I need. But, you know, you come out with lots of questions when you go for a checkup. Maybe you heard about the guy that went to the doctor for his checkup, and he went in, and, man, the doctor checked him over, and he did, I mean, an incredibly thorough checkup, and he was finished with him. He said, you probably need to go sit in the lobby, and I want you to send your wife in. I need to talk to her. So he goes to the lobby, and he sends his wife in, and the doctor meets her in the office. He says, listen, I've got some really bad news. Your husband is not well. But there's hope. If you'll take him home and you'll cook him 3 hot meals every day, You'll make sure he gets plenty of just time to chill and rest. You make sure he gets plenty of sleep at night. You make sure that he doesn't get too agitated about things. Then I think in about 2 months, he'll be okay. She looked at him and said, 2 months? She went back out to the lobby. She didn't say a word to her husband until they got in the car. And he said, okay, what did the doctor say? She looked at him and said, you're dying. Spiritual checkups. So, you know, that checkup time. I want to talk about a different kind of checkup this morning. Because as much as we need to be healthy people, as much as we need to make sure that we're doing all that we can do to maintain our health and checking in with the doctor and doing all those good things, you know what we need? We need a spiritual checkup. We need it far more often than just once a year, but we need it at least once a year. So I want to talk about that this morning. I want to talk about what it looks like and what it might feel like, what it might be like as we think about the questions that come when it's time for a spiritual checkup. We want to check up on our spiritual health. And I say all that because what I've discovered about myself is that when I mess around with the things of God, and when I put God on the back burner for a day or two, everything's cool, right? I mean, I can survive a day or two. Come on. It's not going to kill you. But what I've discovered about that is when I put God on the back burner for a day or two, when I allow or find myself in places doing things or that aren't helpful to who I am as a Christ follower, what I've discovered about me is that things can sneak up on me really quickly. You ever felt that in your own life? Man, if you're not in tune with God, if you're not talking with Him and listening to Him and spending time with Him, and, you know, things sneak up. The world crashes in. You know, when we don't exercise self-control, what Mel talked about last week, those things of the world and the culture, the temptations, the pressures of the world in which we live are incredibly difficult. I think that's why, you know, sometimes we, you know, I don't know about you, but sometimes we crawl off of the driver's seat and or we move God off of the driver's seat and we try and crawl in, take control. It's not helpful. And so I want to talk about this spiritual checkup thing today. In Psalm 139 says this, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me." Now what he means there is he's saying, look, the psalmist is saying, look, God, look deep within me and see if there's anything wrong spiritually inside. Anything that would dishonor you. Anything that would offend you. Look deep inside of me, God, and do that. And then he finishes up by saying, and lead me in the way everlasting. So it's not just in the New Testament we find this idea of a spiritual checkup. It's in the Old Testament as well. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul wrote to the church, if you get a chance, read through Ephesians chapter 5 later today. Man, powerful passage of scripture. But in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul's just talking about what does appropriate behavior for me as a child of God look like? How do I do that in today's world, in today's 21st century church? And he admonishes these people. He says, look, y'all, he encourages them to be careful in how they live. Part of that spiritual checkup thing. Be careful in how you're living. And he doesn't mess around. He gets right at the heart of it. He says, do three things. Be wise, be sober, and be thankful. Be wise, be sober, be thankful. And I read those things and think, well, what does that mean? What does that look like? If I'm thinking about a spiritual, what does it mean for me to be wise? What does it mean for me to have a heart of wisdom? And am I asking God for a heart of wisdom as I go about living life in the culture in which I'm existing at this point? Do I find myself making wise choices? So important when it comes to us being in tune spiritually. Be sober. And you know, that's, you know, you read the word sobriety or you hear the word sober, sobriety, and you think, well, not drinking, being sober. That's not what Paul's talking about here. Paul's talking about having a, being clear-minded and laser-focused. That's what that means, to be sober-minded, to have, be clear-minded and laser-focused. And, you know, I have to ask myself, as I'm living life on a daily basis, am I clear-minded? Is my mind clear of all the junk and garbage the world throws at me so that I can be laser-focused on what God wants for me? That's a question all of us have to answer and look at and answer. And then to be thankful. Am I giving thanks for every day that I have life and breath? I told you I've been trying to get up every morning and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be grateful in it, right? Thankful in it. Am I really being thankful? Do I really thank God? When I walk out the door, do I thank God for the blue skies or the rain or the green grass or the air that I breathe? Be thankful. What's that look like for you, for me? Am I thankful for my family, for my friends, for my church? All part of the checkup that we've got to be a part of. So grab your bulletin, or if you have your Bibles with you, turn to Romans chapter 12, or if you've got your smartphone or your tablet or whatever it is you use that's most appropriate for you. We're going to look at Romans chapter 12. And I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. So if you got a smart device, you need to put it on NLT or it'll be way different than what I'm going to read. But I want to ask this question. What does a spiritual checkup look like for the church? For Methodists and Baptists and Presbyterians and Christian church and whatever denomination you want to talk about. What does a spiritual checkup look like for the church? Because listen, whatever it looks like for the church, it waters down to you and me. It funnels down to us because we're part of the church. So what does it look like? Well, verse 1, Paul writes to the Roman church. He says, Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that He's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Be, you know, so that, my checkup is, am I being a living and a holy sacrifice, sacrificing myself, feelings, my thoughts, onto the altar of God? Am I giving all those things to God so that I can live a holy life that is pleasing to Him? Am I sacrificing what I want in order to have what I need from Him? Be a living and holy sacrifice, pleasing to God, honoring Him and His name. Verse 2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And what Paul's saying here to you, to me, to the church universal, is don't get sucked in by the world in which we live. Don't let the pressures of the culture in which we exist suck you in and wear you out. Temptations are all around us. Temptation's a part of life. It happens to everybody. It happened to Jesus. If you think we're going to be exempt from it, you're wrong. I mean, it happened to Jesus. And what he's saying is, wait, don't give in to it. And that's the checkup point. Am I giving in to the pressures and the things that the culture throws at me? Don't do that. Instead, what he says is to be transformed. Be turned into something different by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Be transformed. You know, those kids have these little transformer things. You ever seen these little transformer deals? They play with them and it looks like a little person, and all of a sudden they flip it around a little bit and it's a car. And you're like, how did that happen? And then they flip it around a little bit more and it's a person again. They've transformed it into something different. Listen, what God wants to do in your life and in my life is to transform us into His likeness so that we don't look like the world around us. So that we don't look like people who live here. This is not our home. Let the Spirit of God transform us, change us, renew us. Verse 3. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you're better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Two words come to my mind as I read those verses. Be humble. We are better than no one else. Mandisa has a song, "We All Bleed the Same." Yeah, we all bleed the same. We all breathe the same air. We're all on the same earth. Don't think we're better than somebody else. Be humble. Verse 4. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. I love that. I love the imagery of that. You know, my fingers do one thing, my ear does another thing, my toes do another thing. Listen, as the body of Christ, the people of God, the church, we do different things. Southeast does different things than we do. LaGrange Baptist does different things than we do. The Presbyterian Church does different things than we do. And it's okay. Praise God for the church. We're part of the body. We're many parts of one body. And listen, might be news to some of us. We belong to each other. We're not fighting. We're not enemies. We're on the same team. God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership abilities, take that responsibility seriously. If you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Be a team player. Use the gifts and graces that God has given us, each one of us. Use them for the glory of God, for His kingdom's sake, so that His name can be made famous. Verse 9. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. He's talking to the body of Christ here. Paul's writing to the church. Love each other. There's no room for arguing and fussing and carrying on. Do we disagree? That's cool if you disagree. We're on the same team, y'all. We're on the same team. We're in this for the same purpose, to bring honor and glory to God, to see the transformation of the world, and to make disciples for Jesus Christ. We're on the same team. Sincerely love each other. Be devoted. That means to be sold out. Be committed to. Be all in for one another. For one another. Have each other's back. And then Paul, from verse 11 to the end of this chapter, I mean, he just lays out this checklist, and I'm not going to bother to read it. But man, if you get a chance today, really spend some time here. Spend some time in Romans 12 and read this checklist, because he said, man, this is wow. If you want to do a spiritual checkup, ask yourself, is this stuff happening in my life? What do I need to do to fix it? How do I turn my heart over to Jesus so that He can fix it? So that I can be better for His glory, to bring Him praise. So that's for the whole church. But listen, we gotta narrow that down some, right? So we're talking about the church universal. Let's bring it down. Let's talk about covenant. Let's talk about those of us who say covenant, this is our home. What's it look like for the people of covenant to have a spiritual checkup? Well, you know, we're getting ready to, as I said before, we're getting ready to jump into all this fall programming. Our Bible study is going to be happening every Wednesday night. Outreach events happening all fall. I don't know if there's a more exciting time of the year than right now. We're just gearing up, man. It's going to be cool stuff happening. And it's a chance for you and me to invite people to jump in and join us on the journey. Because we're on a journey. It's a daily journey. A daily adventure. And we have this chance that's in front of us to invite people to jump in with us and go. Be a part of that. But I do need to ask myself a couple of questions. And one is, how am I doing being part of those called out and committed to carrying out the mission of Covenant Church? That mission statement appears in your bulletin every week. Right side, bottom. It's there every week. It's our mission statement. Connecting, growing, serving. How am I doing with that? How is that affecting me? How is it working in my life? That's part of my spiritual checkup. I have to ask myself that question. And I don't do it just once a year. I ask myself that every day. How am I doing with that? As a part of Covenant Church. Because I signed up for this. I signed up to be a part of the body of Christ right here. So how am I doing at carrying that out? You know, connecting with people, those who are living far from God. Most of them on purpose. Am I putting myself in places where I can connect with people who live life far from God? Who are disinterested in church? Who maybe have wandered off the path somewhere? Or maybe they've given up on the church because they've been hurt or offended. How am I doing at connecting with those kind of persons? How am I doing at connecting or growing up into being passionate and spiritually mature in my faith? What am I doing? Here's the big question, part of the spiritual checkup. What am I doing to feed my soul? What am I doing to feed my soul? You can't grow if you don't feed yourself. What am I doing about that? And then, how am I serving people? How am I serving others with the love of Jesus? In ministry, in the community in which I live. How am I plugging into something that's going outside of these walls and going outside of my little bubble, my little circle, in order to serve people with the love of Jesus? How am I doing in all that? That's part of our spiritual checkup. Now let me funnel it down just a little bit more. First it's the church universal, then it's Covenant Church. How about us individually? Each one of us. What does a spiritual checkup look like for me? How am I doing in my trust and my trust of and my commitment to Jesus? How's my heart? How's my relationship with Him? Am I talking to Him? Am I listening to Him? You know what I've discovered about myself? This is really crazy. But I've discovered that I can get in my car here at the church or over at the house, and if I got to drive into Louisville, I can spend 25 minutes talking to God. coolest thing ever, right? I love doing that. I love being able to talk to God like he's my best friend sitting on the seat right next to me. I think that's the coolest thing ever. I do have to keep my eyes open. That's an important part of driving. But what I love that. But here's the second piece is, the question becomes, okay, you're doing a lot of talking. How much listening are you doing? Yeah, it gets real quiet in my car too. How much listening are you doing? Are you giving yourself time and space to listen to God so that still small voice can speak to us? My commitment to sharing life with other Jesus followers. How well am I doing in showing love to others within my church family? My stewardship. People hate it when I talk about stewardship. Because the first thing that comes to their mind is money. But listen, we got way more than money just to be good stewards of. We have been blessed with everything that we have in life. Everything, including money. So how am I managing my time? How am I managing the spiritual gifts that God has given me? How am I managing the fruit of the Spirit that's supposed to be coming out of me? And yes, how am I managing my money so that it brings glory to God? That's all part of this checkup thing. And I have to ask myself those kinds of tough questions. My service to the least and last and lost. Those who have needs, they're broken people, hurting people. How am I doing in serving them? You see, here's the thing. When we become part of Covenant Church, well, okay, let me back up. When I joined the United Methodist Church lots of years ago, I stood in front of a body of people just like this, and the pastor said, "Will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church? Will you support it with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness?" And you know what, y'all? I made a promise that day. I said yes. I voluntarily signed up to be a part of the church. Voluntarily did it. And I have to continually ask myself, how am I doing? Am I praying? Am I being present? Am I using my gifts? Am I serving God? Am I witnessing for Him? Second Peter 3:18 puts it like this. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we have to ask ourselves, as part of the spiritual checkup, is that happening? Is it happening in your life? Is it happening in mine? Am I becoming more like Jesus every day? That's what His desire is. I'm going to give us a couple of minutes just to listen, some space, some time to listen. I want us to just be quiet before the Holy Spirit. I believe that the Holy Spirit is here in this place right now. I believe that His desire is to speak into our hearts and say, look, it's time for us to take a spiritual checkup, and you better check it up. So I'm going to give us a few minutes. Before James comes and Janice comes, and then we're going to sing. But I want us to really listen to the Spirit. What's he saying to you today about a spiritual checkup?